This is Shutters Inc. with Bruce Williams and Glyn Lavender.
Hi, and welcome to episode 381 of Shutters Inc. This is Bruce Williams from shuttersincpodcast.com. Joining me via Skype from Melbourne, once again from creativephotoworkshops.com.au, Mr. Glyn Lavender. How are you?
Hey ho!
Okay, is this the cowboy episode, is it?
Yeehaw!
What's new?
The Roy Rogers episode. Yeah. What's new? Nothing much.
Right.
It seems like no time at all since we talked last.
It seems like that, but it has been a whole week.
It's funny, isn't it? Yeah. Mind you, we did chat on the phone today, so maybe
We did.
Briefly.
Yeah.
Nothing much. Nothing much has been happening. I don't think I've got anything to say at all this week, so thanks for coming.
Right.
I hope you have a nice episode.
Excellent.
And I'll talk to you next week.
Right. Excellent.
Not going to wash?
Not going to wash, no.
Not going to wash. Well, see, I've actually been so busy,
yeah,
especially today, so busy, I had to cut my nap down to only 20 minutes today.
Oh,
well, the first one, anyway.
Man, you are suffering.
The morning nap was cut short. Yeah.
You are really suffering of late.
No, so much so I just fell asleep on the couch just before. So, I was so fatigued. So fatigued from only having two short naps today instead of three long ones.
Right. And what has kept you so busy?
Oh, just getting stuff organized for the India trip, getting stuff organized for just about finalized all the details for our Cuba trip, which is looking good for March. So, just all the little nitty-gritties of stuff, you know, location stuff and connecting with people. And so we're working trying to get this ballet school to give us some ballet dancers to go around Havana with. And it's just lots of little stuff. Just, you know, it's mind-numbingly draining. But if you don't do it, stuff falls over.
Yeah, totally.
There's a million little details to remember and make sure that they've been ticked off and stuff. So
got your power generators worked out for the back blocks of India for this trip?
No, we're not doing anything quite as extreme as that.
Oh, okay.
In fact, I'm hoping if I can get a hold of the damn things to take along some of the new Godox AD200 flashes.
Oh, okay.
Now, we talked about those a few episodes ago, which were the ones that were the bare bulb flash as well as the focus Fresnel lens flash. So, so I'm hoping to get a couple of those to take. Because they're about the same size as a normal speed light, but lithium battery powered, so it's less stuff to carry again.
Right.
And just a good all-round piece of kit.
And how are you going to get your lithium batteries to India?
Well, they're okay. India's still okay, though. It's Turkey's your problem.
Oh, okay.
But there's a chance. There's a chance Fuji and Lomia GFX to take with me to India.
Wow.
Certainly
nice.
So.
Nice.
Just another 5 kilos of stuff I've got to find somewhere to squeeze into the bag.
Yes.
That and two lenses. Yeah. And plus I'm looking at getting one of the Instax cameras. So I've got this little camera so basically a digital camera, so a little point-and-shoot type of thing, with a screen on the back and saves to a memory card. But it's also got a built-in printer for the Instax instant photos.
Right. So it's a Polaroid.
Basically, yeah, but it's a digital camera with Polaroid. So I'm hoping they're going to get me one of those and a whole stack of paper to hand out to people as we travel around and take photos. So
pretty trippy.
It's another 5 kilos or something. That's squeezy.
You just find a customer that's coming along on your photo tour that's traveling with, you know, one DSLR body and one lens.
Well, good thing is one person is coming, bringing your husband who's not a photographer, so we can load him down with 10 kilos. We can load him with 10 kilos and stuff.
Excellent.
And they're coming from Melbourne too, so that might actually, I hadn't thought of that until just you mentioned that, so that might be a very good idea.
And then you cut them, you know, a $50 discount, you know, for being a pack horse.
and he'll be able to, you know, walk around for the 15 days of this and just carry my gear for me, won't he?
Exactly.
Just pass me my camera, will you, Charles? Marvellous.
Excellent.
So you're just doing that and that. And what else have I been doing? Photo-wise, not a great deal.
Right.
Got my 24-70 back from Tamron from repair.
Oh, okay. And it's all good?
Well, apparently. Yeah.
It looks good, but you haven't tried it.
They had to take a pile of dirt, sand, bits of plastic out from inside the lens.
Oh, jeez.
So it was a little worse for wear.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, just the second lens so far this year they've had to do major overhaul repairs on. So doing good. And it's the thing is that they've just repaired the damn thing, and I'm going to get a new one in a couple of weeks' time with the new Canon version of the new lens comes in anyway. So, right. But so anyway, you've got to have it fixed. Can't have a wonky lens just in case you need it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And this coming Monday, my little offsider Dave Oakley is opening his exhibition.
Oh, okay.
Called Acquired Art. And so it's a model offsider, Dave. He had was in a massive workplace attack 15 years ago. Yep. This coming Monday, so it's the 15th anniversary on Monday night.
Wow!
And he opens his exhibition called 15, and it's 15 works of art. One that you know, commemorates each year of passing.
Right.
So I'm looking forward to that. That should be really good. Go down to support him and stuff. So
excellent.
All very good and dandy.
Excellent.
Anyway, yourself, how's your week been?
It's been a very interesting week. So the Pluto, trigger trap cable arrived.
Yeah.
Doesn't work.
Really?
I don't understand. It's just cable? A cable. How can it not work?
That's not work.
I don't get it.
Does it fit in okay? Does it?
Well, here's the thing: the cable that I bought, and the only way that Pluto sell them is with a 2.5 mil plug on the end, not a 3.5, which is what my Android phone has. So I just simply bunged an adapter on the end, which is a 2.5 female to 3.5 male adapter. Now, whether the adapter is the issue, I don't know. And I don't have another device that I can load the Trigger Trap app onto with a 2.5 mil socket. So at this point, I figure, well, it doesn't work for me. So I could maybe have a go at just cutting the 2.5 mil plug off it and soldering my own 3.5 mil on there because I'm capable at soldering. So I can have a go at that. At the worst, I completely botch it and the cable's still no good to me anyway, so I'm no worse for wear.
Yeah, you're no worse off. Yeah.
So that might be a little job for the weekend. But I am rather just bamboozled at the idea that this is just a piece of wire with a plug on either end. I was confident that it would work, so not sure why it didn't, but anyway, there we go.
The theory was so good, wasn't it?
It was. eBay. So I've got, I've still got about 7 or 8 things that are on their way to me from eBay. And one of the girls walked into my studio at work yesterday and hands me a package. And I thought, oh, you beauty, this will be another, you know, something or other that I've ordered off eBay. And so I ripped the packaging open.
Uh-oh.
And I've looked at the stuff and I've gone, what the hell is this? It was brake levers and brake cables and disc brakes for a push bike. Front and rear. And I'm like, what the hell is this? And so I've looked at the envelope and it was addressed to me at my address. Yeah. And I was looking for the sender and I found the sender whose name was W.E. Fulfillment from Tullamarine in Victoria. So I've looked him up on the web and found a phone number and I've rung them and I said, look, I've been ordering a bunch of stuff off eBay. I've just received a package from you guys with some parts for a push bike, you know, and I certainly didn't order them. I'm thinking that, you know, the warehouse is maybe stuffed up the order with somebody else and somewhere there's a guy who's waiting on some bike parts who's looking at a Yongnuo Flash and wondering what the hell he's going to do with it. And so anyway, so she tried to put me through to the warehouse, couldn't find anyone, so she said, look, we'll get back in touch. And I went, okay, no worries. Didn't hear back from them yesterday. Got home last night, and there's an eBay message from the seller of the Yongnuo Flash going, oh, we've heard that you're not happy with the product. Can you tell us what the issue is?
Yeah.
So I've had to recount the story to them. Woke up this morning and there was a message from them saying, oh, look, you know, could you take a photo of the packaging and what was in it and send that to us? So I said, yeah, no worries. So I just snapped a couple of shots with my phone and sent that off. Anyway, I'm sitting in my studio at work this afternoon at about 3 o'clock and my studio phone, like not my mobile phone, but my studio phone rings and I could see that it was a mobile number. And so I just naturally assumed, oh, this will be one of the sales reps from work, you know.
That's true.
And so I've just answered the phone and gone, production, as I normally do. And this guy's gone, Bruce Williams? And I said, yeah. And he's gone, it's, he said, you don't know me. He said, my name is whatever.
Whatever it is.
Can't remember. Yeah. And
I've got a flash gun.
He said, did you buy a flash? And I went, yeah, you're looking for some bike parts. And he goes, yeah, I am. And he said, and as it happens, he said, I'm only 5 minutes down the road.
Yeah.
And I went, wow, that's just trippy. And I said, well, look, I've got a fairly quiet afternoon at work. I'll ride down there now. I'll see you in 10 minutes. So I jumped on the motorbike.
Hey, he's 5 minutes down the road and you're driving a motorbike, yeah. So it'd be 3 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, we met up, swapped packages, and I got back to work and sent a message to the eBay seller and said, yep, it's all good.
I'm happier now.
Yes, exactly. So, that's got to be the weirdest eBay experience I think either he or I have ever had.
What an amazing coincidence that they're so close to each other.
Well, yeah. As he said, I would suspect that what's happened is that they were processing – you know, orders by region, and these were two orders coming to the same suburb in Sydney, and they've been packaged up at the same time, and the labels have been attached to the wrong packages. And so anyway, very strange.
Well, it's a fascinating story. I'm glad you shared that.
And I got my dark table test image book back.
Oh, yes,
from the guys at Photo Bookshop. I'm glad I did it because...
I bet you are.
Seriously. When you look at the images, they are all a bit too dark. So I need to, work on calibration of this monitor, maybe just darken the settings on the monitor and then go and, just tweak the black point to be a little bit lighter because, some of the dark images are just a bit too dark and... Yeah. Things that should have been deep blues have kind of, just gone to black and stuff like that. So it was a great experiment, and I thank Sophie for the voucher because it has proved to be worthwhile.
Thanks, Sophie, for getting in touch and giving us a voucher for all our listeners.
Yes, I don't think she listened to the podcast.
Well, she says she's had a good week then. She's one up.
And I got I had someone send me an email. They were soliciting for a plug, and I thought, normally I just ignore them. This one I thought, stuff it, I'll put it in. This is from colesclassroom.com, 25 reasons why you should use Lightroom.
Okay.
I'm not sure that there's anybody listening to this podcast who's not using Lightroom.
Me?
Don't you?
I don't use Lightroom.
Oh, well, you should go and have a look at the link. There might be some reasons why you suddenly feel the need to adapt or adopt. So anyway, I had a quick look at it, and it looks like basically just a selling list of things you can do in Lightroom. I wouldn't say they were necessarily reasons why you should use Lightroom, but anyway.
So, well, while we're on
that topic,
that type of article, I'd like to just include one of mine, which was a guy who wrote an article about taking photographs in zero gravity. And
oh, okay.
Basically, I thought, wow, this could be moderately interesting reading. It says, so the article is called How I Shot a Photo Assignment in Zero Gravity.
Right.
And he went on to pretty much say nothing.
Oh, okay.
About any of the actual challenges of shooting, other than the fact that he couldn't strap some flashes to a wall and he used this instead. But he didn't actually say anything other than I enjoyed it and the other people didn't do as well. But, so like this one. 20-odd reasons to use Lightroom. This is basically showing some of the things that Lightroom does, which could be done. And this is how I shot in zero gravity. And basically all he says is, I shot in zero gravity. Complete waste of an article. It's like that one the other day is the guy who choose your next lens by using Lightroom.
Yeah.
And all it was I don't like the 24-7. I think these people get derailed sometimes in their message.
Yeah,
I'm totally starting off to say, this is what I want to talk about. Oh, bright, shiny thing.
Yeah, totally.
They get a bit distracted.
There's a lot of that. There's a lot of that.
There is.
And you see it a lot on YouTube with people who will create a video that is allegedly going to be about a particular, you know, trick that you can do in Photoshop or Sony Vegas or whatever software it is, and then they suddenly get sidetracked and they're waffling on about a whole bunch of crap that was not what the title of the video was related to. I was like, man, get back on topic.
See, I'm glad we're not like that. I mean, if it was 10 men to waffling about crap, I mean...
That's right.
Our listeners are very lucky that we don't go off in strange tangents like that. It was really windy here today, actually. Yeah. Blowing to go. So I was going to play golf today.
Yeah.
That would have cut out all my naps. But it was so windy that if I'd hit a ball, it would have gone backwards more than normal.
Right.
Yeah, so I'm glad we don't waffle onto different subjects. It's very lucky for everybody, really.
It is. Now, the next one I have, and Adam also sent this, and I think you had this as well, F11 magazine, which is 11. A digital photography magazine, comes out of New Zealand, has been published for the last 6 years. The guy who writes it or who compiles it has just announced that he's putting it all on hiatus. He's not saying it's definitely...
Is that like eBay? Oh, no, is that like, that's like, what's that place where they can buy stuff that people handmade knit stuff, things like that?
I have no idea. Know. Is that Etsy?
Etsy, yeah. Is he putting on Etsy instead? I think someone's going to knit every episode, every issue.
Right.
Can't download that easily though. Right.
So glad we don't get derailed.
I'm going to look that up.
So he's putting it waffle? On hiatus for...
I do like a waffle. I do like waffles, actually, especially with, like, maple syrup and ice cream.
Yes. Yes, I just had a pancake.
I got a waffles maker for my daughter for Christmas. Right. She rather liked that. Excellent. Haven't done it in a while. I have to make waffles again. Maybe it's going to be a cold weekend. Maybe we can make waffles again.
Maybe
we made brownies last week.
That's good.
They were nice.
Anyway... If you were a regular reader of F11.
We let the pecans out because I'm allergic to nuts.
Right. You're allergic to yourself. Rob Coates sent us an email. So, g'day, Yanks.
So, F11 magazine. Three magazines gone out of business. That's not a good sign.
No.
Think about it. A magazine that's free...
Well,
is out of business.
As he said, you know, he was trying to make it a viable business through advertising, like selling advertising space, and it's just a tough slog.
The problem is, you're trying to get companies to advertise,
yep.
But each region has its own budget. So, like,
right.
Canon USA
yep.
have a budget to market in Canon, in America.
Yep.
Right? So they're not going to give a guy in New Zealand money on the hope that some people in America read that. And same with Nikon Australia and Nikon England or whatever it may be. They've all got their individual. So it's really hard to get money
yep.
for a worldwide product
yep.
because these departments don't work that way. They don't work holistically.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know. I always felt like F11 was a little bit different in its approach to all the regular photography magazines. I don't know if I'm, you know, reading more into that than there was there, but it just felt a little bit more bespoke.
I'm not saying there's anything wrong with the magazine. I think the magazine, from the few bits that I read of it, was really good.
Yeah.
But as a business model,
yeah.
Where's you getting your money from? If you're going to give this thing away, where are you getting your money from? And if you don't understand the way the advertising business of this industry works, you're going to struggle.
Yeah.
Because said Mr. Canon USA is not spending $1 outside of USA.
Well,
yeah
maybe.
I guarantee you. Go look at some back issues and look at where the adverts are from.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really, really hard. You might get your small, so you get something like a three-legged thing as an example, just throwing a name out there for tripods.
Right.
Okay, so that's it's a small business. You can approach the guys themselves who run it and yep. say, we advertise this magazine, and they say, okay, well, we're global as a brand. Yes, we'll do the $500 for an advert for this issue.
Yeah.
Okay. You go to Mr. Canon USA.
Yep.
Who's got 50 people working, who has a budget for USA only,
yep.
he's not interested,
yeah.
quite frankly. So I reckon if you look at the advertising, you'll find there's lots of small companies in there.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's quite a bit of New Zealand emphasis too, because I think there's a big take-up in New Zealand.
Yeah.
So it's just hard to get those big brands on board. And let's face it, they're the ones who are going to have the volume of money to spend on advertising.
Yeah.
Not an easy market. So, I mean, the guy may have been fabulous, but and this is the same with all photographic pursuits as a business. If you can't understand the business side of it very well, it's going to be a struggle at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not about the quality of
the
product.
He must have had some idea of the way the business works. I mean, he made it work for 6 years. So,
well, did he?
Well,
yeah, it's outside versus inside. I mean, what's the actual cost of putting it together?
Yeah, but I mean, he couldn't have been taking a loss for 6 whole years. I mean, he must have been doing okay, almost
breaking even.
Okay, maybe I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. So he might have almost been breaking, and there's always that almost enough to make it worthwhile, almost enough to make it worthwhile, and then but at some point you've got to say, well, I've been almost enough to make it worthwhile for 6 years now, unless I can find a different way. And what I've read on people like D-Preview or DP-Review, whichever you prefer, people commenting, saying stuff like, I've looked at the magazine, it's really good, I'd pay a $10 a year subscription for it. Yeah, someone made a great comment, I always thought they should have a donate button. Hey, do you like this issue? Donate $1. Like you've got on your podcast page.
Yep.
Yeah, help support us by not donating anything because no one ever does. But on F11 magazine, hey, if you enjoyed the issue, consider donating to keep us going.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing wrong with that. Another way of trying to find some financial side of stuff. You never know. He might go explore some ideas financially and come back and do stuff like that. You know,
yeah.
It could be like when Coca-Cola went to New Coke back in the '90s. Remember that? They went to a new flavor.
They tweaked the recipe a little, didn't they?
Yeah, and everyone went ape. So they brought out Classic Coke, and then Classic Cola sold 4 times as much Coke as they'd normally been selling. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, the new formula disappeared, and Coke just became Coke again. So he could just be stopping the magazine to get people paying attention to then relaunch with a pay. Hey, you've seen the value of it now. How about slop it up $10 a year or something?
Could very well be.
Not a bad idea if he is. Let's watch this space.
Yeah, exactly. Moving on, Rob Coates sent us an email and said, "G'day, Inks. Thought you may be interested in this story as I remember Glenn talking about taking photos of veterans a few years ago. Or even better, are some of these photos in this collection, Glenn?"
No.
No? Okay.
Well, these are all Australian veterans of the Australian military services.
Right.
And I was photographing the survivors of the British services.
Ah, right. Okay.
So, but same concept, just different. I won't say demographics, not quite right. Different country of origin, shall we say.
Yeah. Looking at the images in the backgrounds of this blog post, like, because you've got portraits of these guys standing in front of the portraits about which the story's about. I actually think your images were better.
Well, it's a given.
Modest man, our Glenn. Yours had more character. Let me say that.
There's exactly what I was about to say. So these are all very nicely lit and very clean and, but there's very few there that have any drama to them.
No.
It's not saying I all don't like the very last one in this little group of, if I'm looking at the link, the very last one's got some shadow in the picture.
Right.
The guy with the red beret. Can you see that one? All if you flick through the little thumbnails at the bottom.
No. Oh, yeah. Yep.
All the way to the end.
Yep.
And there's a guy with a red beret.
Right.
And some shadow. And the shadow gives it mood and drama and interest.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden that photo's got a lot more character.
Yes.
What are all the other ones lacking?
Yeah.
Shadows.
Yep.
Yeah, they're all flat lighting.
Yep.
Beautifully lit. Not saying there's anything wrong with the lighting, but it's not dramatically lit. It's just nicely lit.
I know, I've said it before and I will say it again. I keep thinking of the quote in the Joe McNally book where he said, his one of his editors at Life magazine said, "If you want it to be interesting, don't light everything."
Not many people know that photography used to be a two-word phrase. Yes. Photosgrafima schema skios.
Right.
So photosgrafia, to write with light, schema skios, to shape with shadows.
Right.
It's all bullshit, of course. But this is what I teach. I teach this exact phrase, though, in my natural light port, in my workshops, is taking that don't lie to everything. But don't lie to everything is very not misleading.
Okay.
But it doesn't help people understand what that means.
Okay.
Okay. Whereas to shape with shadows,
yep,
gives you a little bit more of a definition of, okay, what do I do with that stuff that I'm not lighting? Well, we use that to show the shape of a cheekbone or the size of a forehead or the depth of an eye socket or whatever it may be, the cragginess of the skin. So the shadows give us our texture, our form, and our shape.
Yep.
Yeah. So photosgraphima shimaskios.
Right.
very, very important. The shimaskios. To me, if I'm taking a proper photograph, I don't care about the light.
Right.
Because I wouldn't be taking the photo if the light wasn't good.
Yep.
Okay. So when I'm shooting, I actually care about the shadows.
Right.
So if I'm doing a proper photo, or even if it's just someone I've met in the street and I've pulled them into a doorway, it's not about the light. It's about how I use the shadows.
Right.
To create. And if you look at most of my photos, it's all about that shadow shape, you know?
Right.
So. Anyway.
Interesting.
But yeah, good stuff. Yeah, yeah. Lovely photo. I mean, a great project. And they handed over, I can't remember how many images they handed over, but it was a hell of a lot.
Yeah, right.
To the National War Museum. So
yeah, nice.
All power to them. My mate John Swainston was up there, and he said it was one of the most moving days of his 40-plus years in the world of photography. So,
wow. Okay.
So, yeah.
Yeah, right. Steve Peters sent us a link on the Facebook wall to a video on the Tamron Australia page on Facebook of some clouds.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Some good stuff on there, wasn't there?
I haven't watched it.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
Right. Who was up there with you?
There was myself.
Yep.
Me, myself, and I, the three of us.
Yep.
My good mate Andy McFeet, who's the national product manager for Tamron in Australia,
right?
And Lisa Sard, Australian Photographer of the Year.
Oh, which we spoke about last week. Yes.
Yeah. So yeah. They're in Heady Company,
right?
Yeah, they're.
And what was the video about?
Oh, we're doing a first look at the new Tamron 24-70.
Aha.
And then so the first video is first impressions, and as I rightly say, I don't do impressions. and then the second video will be the actual doing the shooting.
Right.
So the camera guy follows a man doing some photos and then looking, and then a wrap up of what we thought of the lens as we shot with it for the first time.
Nice.
So a bit of fun last Sunday afternoon.
Excellent. Yeah. All right. And then we've got a bunch of stories from Adam. The first one is 24 times long exposure photography resulted in something magical.
Really?
Okay. I guess
it wasn't clickbait. Were they all on one page rather than have to go through 24 different pages?
That's
one of the magical things.
Got to give them props for that. To me, I don't know about magical, but I do like long exposure photography, and some of these were very interesting. I really liked number 10, which was the keyboard, which was obviously a backlit keyboard, and they've done a zoom effect, which I thought was really clever. I like that.
Sounds corny, but mine hasn't opened up yet because of my 0.3 megabits per second download speed.
Right.
I was talking to our good mate Mike Holman over in New Zealand.
Yeah.
Early in the week.
Yeah.
And we're looking at doing a tour together the second half of next year, just to waffle on something, a completely different topic. Yep. So see, we're thinking of either Japan or Sri Lanka, so if anyone wants to come and hang out there. But I was talking to him, and my download and upload speed's about 0.3 megabits per second.
Wow.
But he's got, in New Zealand, a little old country in New Zealand, he's got fiber to the door, and he's got 10 gigabits per second.
Wow.
So needless to say, he has no problem with Skype video. Mine a little on the blocky side. My goodness, yeah, 10 dear. Gigabits a second. Yeah, and apparently they can have up to 100.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. So thanks our pathetic bloody excuse for internet. And so number 10, let's see if it's loaded yet. So I like the train, the little tram. It looks a little bit.
Yep.
No, that's not fun. That's not interesting. Subway Tunnel. That's okay, but it's a 70s disco music thing. Oh, a keyboard, not like a, I'm thinking like an organ.
Oh,
musical no, keyboard. No. Oh, I see what he's done. Yeah, that's okay. Yeah, that works okay. Lovely Photoshop effect.
Yeah.
That's some okay stuff. You know, it's like any of these things.
Yeah.
I want to put together a blog post. I was going to find 20 photos on the net that are moderately interesting.
Yeah.
And claim they're, yeah, it's they're all fluff pieces. There's nothing wrong with them.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's not necessarily saying that you're not learning anything here.
No.
You may be throwing a few ideas, but this, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would like maybe that, yeah, rather, if you're going to do an article like this, do a few and then talk about the technique.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit more information, but because they're just dragging other people's photos off Flickr or whatever, yeah, you're not necessarily going to get that sort of info from them.
No.
The helicopter one's kind of cool. Have you seen number 22?
Hang on. I just closed the tab. Number 22, you said?
Number 22, yeah.
Number 22, scrolling down. Oh, yeah, cool.
Yeah. So that's interesting. Yeah.
Then there's a couple of stories about Amazon. The first one, Amazon is refunding Lee solar eclipse filter buyers, warning against their use. So Amazon has sent out email saying if you bought the $160 solar eclipse filter to photograph the upcoming solar eclipse, don't use it. Yeah. So
the fault with the filter?
Well, I don't know. It just
you didn't bother looking.
I haven't read it. No, Amazon has not received confirmation from the supplier of your order that they sourced the item from a recommended manufacturer. We recommend that you do not use this product to view the sun or the eclipse. So, I don't know. Maybe there was someone doing dodgy knockoffs. I don't know.
Maybe many years ago.
Yeah.
So it must have been, I'm going to say 40 years ago.
Oh, okay.
I used to have a 4.5-inch reflector telescope, which is a moderate size, you know, little backyard telescope.
Okay.
And one day I decided I'd look at the sun.
Oh.
And it comes with a sun filter, and the sun filter screws on the inside of the eyepiece, and you put the eyepiece in.
Yep.
Of course, it's really hard to line up because you can't see much through the filter
right.
when it's not pointing at the sun, and you can't look through the finder scope at the sun because it burns your eyes. So it took ages to finally line this thing up, and I did it with you put a little bit of paper on the end so the light projects through, and as it gets close to the sun, you start to see the light from the sun hitting the bit of paper. So I finally got it there, got it nicely focused, just started bringing my eye towards the viewfinder from the eyepiece, and I reckon I was about 2 centimeters away and heard this little crack. And the focus beam of the sunlight had split the filter, and complete focus beams of ultra magnified sunlight were spewing through this little hole through the eyepiece. It would have burnt my eye out in fractions of a second.
Wow!
And yeah, if it happened 2 seconds later, I'd be blind in one eye.
Wow!
Yeah, it was. Those filter things are just so damn, yeah, so especially something like that where you've got a large magnifying glass focusing the light onto one tiny point.
Yeah,
that's
right.
incredible energy into one little point. And I was having a read up on this digital photography school about the upcoming eclipse and people with their mirrorless cameras worrying if it's going to burn out their sensors and all this sort of stuff. And
yeah,
there's some people, apparently some instruction manuals say, yes, don't put it at the sun directly and focus at the sun because it can damage your sensor. And then there's lots of people out there saying, look, I've done it lots of times and nothing's ever happened. So
wow.
I, after much research trying to prove some moron on Facebook wrong, I couldn't get any definitive proof, so I couldn't stick it to him.
Yeah.
So that was a bit disappointing. But, yes, because I remember many years ago, my good mate Adam Moore, phenomenal photographer.
Yeah.
I was using what was those days a hybrid camera. It wasn't an SLR. It wasn't a compact, but it was a really big sensored Sony camera.
Okay.
And pointing directly at the sun. And once again, it was a live view camera. He's going, nah, I wouldn't be doing that. I wouldn't be doing that for exactly that reason. But nothing ever happened, and I did lots of it, and who knows, but maybe you have to be a little bit circumspect in pointing your mirrorless camera. Because remember, your light's directly feeding straight onto the sensor.
Yeah.
And you're focusing that sun ray beam right onto that point. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe. Maybe there's a reason. If it just gets like a hot spot on it, like you get on a TV that burns out a bit or something,
yeah.
You know.
How much of a filter do you need to point a camera at the sun? I'd imagine your 10-stop filter is not enough.
No, not enough. You know, you'd want your 11 at least. Right. No, there are 100 or something.
Oh, really? Is that strong?
Something pretty darn big anyway.
Wow.
But remember, when the actual eclipse is on, there's no light. If it's a full eclipse,
yeah,
you don't need any filter at all.
Yeah.
Because
the moon's in the
it's
way.
Just, so that little bit's okay.
Yeah.
I guess it's only if you really want to photograph sunspots and stuff like that, you'd have to really knock it down. Yeah. So anyway.
And the other one was Amazon refunding purchases of fake solar eclipse glasses.
Oh, gee, dear.
That's a bit of a worry. I'm surprised that that product would have even been approved for sale. Although maybe Amazon, you know, doesn't check every listing.
Yeah, are they drop shipping? Are they selling for somebody else? And I mean, there's an awful lot of stuff gets brought into this country from overseas that isn't certified to be used here.
Yeah, right.
A lot of electrical products. You go and buy all these battery chargers and hoverboards and all this stuff people are buying in on eBay. Anything electrical bought on eBay isn't approved to work here.
Right. Yeah.
So here's the thing. I'm not sure. This is a potential problem. I just thought of it just then. If you buy a product from overseas that runs on a power board that's not certified to be used here and it burns your house down and your insurance company discovers the fact that it wasn't approved to be used in this country.
Yeah.
They're going to pay your insurance. Yeah. Maybe, who knows, you know?
Yeah, right.
And there's an awful lot of that these days, you know, because it's very easy, of course, to bring stuff in from overseas.
Yeah.
It's never been approved to work here.
Yeah.
So,
in this story, it says, although there are a lot of fakes out there, one woman in Kansas bought 500 pairs directly from an Amazon retailer in China. After asking the seller if they meet the ISO requirements, she was informed that they do. After receiving her 500 pairs of glasses, it turns out they did not.
I think they might have meant miso. Miso, miso soup requirements.
Is that what it was?
Maybe. Maybe they thought she'd done a typo.
Yeah.
She's left the M off of miso. Of course, miso being more your Japanese soup, but I'm sure they have it from time to time.
Yes.
here's a complete, not that we ever go off topic.
Never.
But in the Japanese language.
Yeah.
They have a whole alphabet they use, which is Chinese.
Really?
They've apparently had three different variations of alphabet, apparently.
Wow.
And one of them is the Chinese characters.
Right.
Which is anyway, next.
Interesting. this one was on Petapixel. It's called A Forgotten Solution to the Problems of Zoom Lenses. Now,
what's the problem with zoom lenses?
Well, the chromatic aberration that comes from the various elements and the groups of elements within the lens not moving at different ratios to each other. And because they don't, it creates chromatic aberration at certain lengths, at certain focal lengths and certain apertures. And this article is all about this old Minolta MC Rocker X 40-80mm f2.8 lens. So it's a zoom lens.
Yeah.
But instead of being like the zoom lenses we are familiar with today, it uses this gearing mechanism with this strange contraption on the side of the lens. So one part of it is like a big bezel around the outside edge, and then from the middle of this circular plate, there is a lever. And using these two things allows you to change the focal length of this lens, but with this lever, it moves the elements inside the lens at different ratios so that you get similar performance to what you would get from a prime lens, where the chromatic aberration is less, according to the story.
Do you know what amazes me?
No.
That you don't own all these lenses.
Why does that amaze you?
That you don't? Well, it just seems like your kind of bag.
It does, doesn't it?
It just seems right up your alley.
But But I thought, well, it's very interesting. I was struggling to understand the technology, but
But here's the thing, though. I mean, and this is where technology's come along so far. Is now, this is early days of Zoom, where was a much more noticeable problem. These days, it's very few lenses have significant chromatic aberration.
No,
and most of those can be then fixed in post anyway.
Exactly.
Because it's a known constant, and Lightroom's or whatever's got a fixed press the button, it's gone.
Yeah.
So, but it's really interesting to see how they solved that problem in the early days.
To put it in perspective, this was 1975. I mean, that's 42 years ago.
That's right. We only had Man on the Moon for 6 years by then. So
that's right. So
they were so far advanced, it's something we can't achieve these days. So just because we're further along doesn't mean we're more advanced.
Exactly. The next one is a video. This was hosted on DIYphotography.net about a guy from the Philippines who can fix anything. I didn't get to watch the entire video. I got to see about half of it, and it's not particularly long. It's only about a 3 or 4 minute video.
But can he fix my bad back?
If it's got electrical components, pretty likely that he can. Does your back have electrical components?
Not yet, but maybe he can install some. But anyway, what you just said is completely bogus anyway.
Which bit?
It's completely untrue.
What?
Well, he's in Singapore, not the Philippines. Oh, he's a Filipino based in Singapore.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, it's a big difference. It's a huge difference. Because if you just sent someone to the Philippines looking for this guy to fix their 1975 lens that has no chromatic aberration, you would set them on a wild goose chase.
Oh, yes, definitely. Anyway, go and have a look at the video. next one was this famous pepper photo by Edward Weston was a 4-hour exposure at f/240. So essentially he turned his camera into a pinhole camera, allowed so little light through that it required between 4 and 6 hours to get an exposure.
So you're lying again saying it was 4 hours, or it was 6 hours, wasn't it really?
Well, it's hard to know. The title says 4 hours plus, but then in the text it says between 4 to 6 hours. So I don't know. I don't know how many minutes and seconds it took between 4 and 6 hours.
And why? And why is the next question. Just because you can.
That's right. What I want to know is how do you calculate how much exposure you're going to require when you're working?
Exactly. You know? Well, the surface of a thing that is the thing that's surfaced is surfaced.
What?
Look, if you can't do the simple math like that, dude, I'm sorry, there's nothing I can do for you.
Right, okay. Last week we mentioned the sad closure of L&P Digital in Sydney.
Yes.
The liquidation sale has now commenced. It will run until the 22nd of August, which would be, about Tuesday of next week. So there'll be a couple of days after this podcast comes out that the sale will still be going on. So if you want to check out the stuff that's available for purchase, hit up that link. Of course, what's available at the moment is more than 10 pages. By the time you hear this, it might be considerably less. So takes your chances. And the last one from Adam, B&H Photo to pay $3.2 million to settle a discrimination case.
I told you about them a while ago, didn't I?
Yeah.
What they were like as an organisation, how they treat their staff.
Yeah. I remember it being quite big news a couple of years ago, them getting into all sorts of hot water with, you know, the way they were treating staff. It was probably then that you mentioned it, but
Yeah, possibly.
So the company's agreed to pay $3.22 million of monetary relief and back wages to over 1,300 people. Youch.
Yeah.
That's a big class action.
So they're basically accused of being racist, that they wouldn't employ anyone but Mexican right. workers, and they were then paid lower than the average wage, and refused advancement, and not given proper facility. But the problem is, all the stuff that they've been accused of, all the staff got together and said, it's not good enough, and then they didn't do anything about it as well. Yeah. Yeah. And here's the thing, I think this is the third or fourth time they've been sued for this.
Oh, really?
No, this ain't the first.
Wow.
So, yeah. So,
That's pretty bad.
Yeah.
You would think after the first time you would go, we really need to get our house in order. You would think.
Well, I don't know. There's no accounting for stupidity sometimes, I guess. But then once again, hey, yes, guys, of course it's cheaper to buy from B&H. They don't pay their staff. They have staff in slave labor conditions working for under award wage in America without toilet facilities who, if they get injured at work, get the sack, allegedly. But say allegedly to all of these things.
Yeah.
Yeah, and of course it's cheaper to buy from B&H.
Yeah. For a
but
reason.
As I always say, there's a reason why things are cheaper.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, in places. And it's just, if you ethically want to deal with some of these organizations as well, you know?
Yeah.
Still.
Hey, just before we started recording, I sent a message to Anna Gunn, who I interviewed on the last episode of the podcast about the Photo Festival. And I said, I don't know if you listen to the podcast, but Glyn said you should come back late September to give us some thoughts on how it all went, what you learned, all that kind of thing. She's just flicked me a response. She said, hi, Bruce, sounds great. I did listen and laughed as Glyn sulked. He wasn't invited. I'd love to come back and give updates, especially as everything just got totally crazy.
Awesome.
You're
awesome
a sulker.
And the point is, you say that that's something new.
Like it's a bad thing.
Exactly. Your point is. She won't listen to this episode because she only listened to the last one to listen for herself.
That's right.
Which is pretty much what I do when I'm on these kind of things.
You don't listen to the ones you're on.
Oh, no, not our one. For God's sake. Oh. If I'm invited onto some other thing.
Oh, right.
Okay. I'll listen to that.
Right.
But I won't listen to other episodes because, it's not about me anymore.
Right.
So, Anna, am I coming over next year? Let me know. Is it?
I think that's it.
We've got stuff to talk about.
Yeah, we've covered it all. So that's everything for the week. So you have yourself a good week.
I hope to. I'm hoping it's so cold down here. They're forecasting snow fairly close to home.
Wow!
So I'm going to take the kids out if it does. So awesome. That'll be a bit of fun.
Excellent.
Yeah.
All right, mate.
And I shall talk to everybody next week.
All right. Well, you take care.
I will. See you guys.
All right. See you, mate.
Bye.
All right. Let's wrap it up with a book review from David Marland. What do you got for us, David?
Thanks, Bruce. Become an expert in every style, from travel to fashions. Oh, wow, that's some hype. But this is the promise on the cover of Complete Photography by Tom Eng. Now, as I've said before, I am very wary about books that indicate complete or all you need to know or promise you will instantly become an expert. If this is the Complete Photography book, as its title suggests, then why have DK, the publisher of this book, have even bothered to publish and print other books in the series like Digital Photography Step by Step, Digital Photography Month by Month, or even Digital Photography Handbook? Why have they bothered if indeed this book is complete photography? Well, I guess that's my bugbear out of the way, and I've overlaboured my point. So let's actually have a look at it. The book has a look at different styles of photography, and it does it under 10 headings: portrait, landscape, fashion and nude, wildlife and nature, sports, documentary, event and milestone, travel, architecture, and fine art photography. Each of these sections is really highly formulated. There's an intro to the genre, with some dot-pointed history. There's a couple of tutorials, an image analysis, an assignment, and then a feature article on a professional photographer, including an interview and a series of behind-the-scenes shots on how the photographer approaches a shoot, followed by a small portfolio of that photographer's work. Then rinse and repeat the sequence of tutorial, image analysis assignment, and feature on another photographer is repeated. So you get two for each of the sections. There's 20 all up. The book does assume you know how to use a camera, but it's not complete. It does provide a lot of ideas and is designed to get the reader thinking. And the tutorials are packed with information, but for me, it's a bit of a wall of words. And one key element that's missing is that there's no discussion about pre-visualization or client requirements with the interviews with the photographers. I mean, each of the interview pages begins with a photo from the photo shoot that's later followed. And although the interview is about the general style of photographer, it doesn't cover any of the requirements of clients or aims of the shoot that's used as an example. Now, as it's topical at the moment, particularly for Bruce at the moment, I had a good look at the travel style. And there is an inherent assumption that you have got plenty of opportunities, and by that I mean plenty of time at a location. Now, I don't know about you, but for me, time when you're traveling is really limited. And as I travel with family, I often don't get much of an opportunity to pick and choose locations or times. I found this section disappointing, particularly in the key moments in the introduction, you know, the bit of the history bit, which two of the dot points had Herbert Ponting covering Scott's Antarctic expedition and Neil Armstrong's pictures from the moon. Hardly photos to induce future travellers or pictures of other cultures, unless someone was eating green cheese. Definitely these should have been in the documentary booklet or section, not in travel. Complete Photography by Tom Manning is likely to be one of those books presented to you by well-meaning relatives. Be kind, smile, say it will be very useful, even if you do use it to reach up to the top shelf to get the peanut butter. But if you find it better than I did, I'd be pleased to know about it. Digital Photography, Complete Photographer by Tom Ang is published by DK Books. It's from $32 to about $51. And by the way, I noticed that the editions in Booko have a slightly different subtitle, a masterclass in every genre. Every genre? It's certainly a bit milder than becoming an expert, but every genre? Cheers.
Not a fan, David. That's great. I completely relate to the bit about, you know, an assumption that you've always got the time to photograph things when you're traveling, because that is absolutely not always the case. And it comes down to what type of travel you do. You know, when Kath and I started talking, you know, 15 months ago about doing, you know, this 4 or 5 week jaunt through Europe, I said straight away, we've got to do it in our own vehicle. There is no way I'm going on a bus tour, because I would be as frustrated as all get out, you know, watching fantastic things pass by the window that I couldn't stop and get out and shoot, and, you know, then being told that these are the things we're going to go and look at, and they might not necessarily be the things that I wanted to shoot, and then you rushed through them. And so, no, I would never do a bus tour for exactly that reason, because as, you know, someone who loves doing travel photography, I would just find that supremely frustrating. But even when you do travel via your own means, as Kath and I did, with, you know, where we leased a car, there are times where, you know, you want to shoot a certain angle of something, whether it's a building or a, you know, a natural, you know, rock formation or whatever, you know, at particular times of the day. And sometimes you just can't be there at the time of day that you want. You know, sometimes it's in the middle of the day and you've already traveled a couple of hundred kilometers and you've still got another couple of hundred to go. And, you know, you're not going to be there for either golden hour or blue hour, either in the morning or in the evening. sometimes it just doesn't work that way. So, yeah, totally relate, David. But, yeah, use the book for reaching to the top shelf for the peanut butter. I love it. All right, that will do for this week. Until next week, take care.
ShutterZinkPodcast.com.
AnotherAudioTo.com quality podcast.
For questions, comments, and feedback, email theboys@ShutterZinkPodcast.com.